Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Brachot, Perek Yud Aleph. The Rambam devotes this last perek of Hilchot Brachot to the topic of Birkot Mitzvot. As he notes in Halacha Aleph, the general form of the Birkat HaMitzvah is what we call a Bracha Ktzara, that is, a single line without a separate Chatima, similar to Birkot HaNenin and most of the Birkot Shevach VaHoda'ah which were discussed in the last perek, with some exceptions like Hiddush Levana, which has a Chatima. Starting in Halacha Bet, he discusses the parameters of these brachot, the different kinds of mitzvot which require bracha, when the bracha is made, and when it is accompanied by a shechianu. After this, he elaborates on the different formulations of a birkat mitzvah, specifically the question of when we use the active language of le, like in lahadlik ner shel Chanukah, and when the passive language of al, like in al netilat yadayim. Halacha Bet. Yesh mitzvat aseh she'adam chayav lishtadel v'lirdof ad she'aseh ota, kegon tefillin v'sukah v'lulav v'shofar. Ve'elu hinah nikra'in chova, lefi she'adam chayav al kol panim la'asotan. V'yesh mitzvot she'inan chova, ela domin l'reshut, kegon mezuzah u'ma'akeh, she'ein adam chayav lishkon bevayit ha'chayav b'mezuzah, kedei she'aseh mezuzah, ela im ratza lishkon kol yamav be'ohel o b'sfina, yeshev. וכן אינו חייב לבנות בית כדי לעשות מעקה, וכל מצוות עשה שבין אדם להקדוש ברוך הוא, בין מצווה שהיא חובה, בין מצווה שאינה חובה, מברך עליה קודם לעשייתה. There are mitzvot which are absolute requirements, like tefillin, lulav, and shofar. There are others which are conditional requirements, meaning that the obligation to perform them depends on certain conditions being met. One can go his entire life without putting up a mezuzah if he never lives in a house which is required to have one. We'll see a distinction between these two kinds of mitzvot later in the perek, in Halacha Yud Daled, but there is no difference between them with regard to the fundamental requirement of a birkat hamitzvah, which both types of mitzvot require. Halacha Gimel. וכן כל המצוות שאין מדברי סופרים, בין מצוות שאין חובה מדבריהם, כגון מקרא מגילה והדלקת נר שבת והדלקת נר חנוכה, בין מצוות שאינן חובה, כגון עירוב ונטילת ידיים, מברך על הכל קודם לעשייתן, אשר קדשנו ושתה וסיוונו לעשות. והיכן סיוונו? בתורה, שכתוב בה אשר יאמרו לך תעשה. The same distinction exists among rabbinic mitzvot. Reading the Megillah on Purim and lighting Neirot Chanukah are absolute requirements, while Netilat Yadayim is conditional. Here again, in both cases, one must recite a Birkat HaMitzvah before performing the mitzvah. How can one use the language of Asher Kedishanu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu on an act which Hashem didn't command us? The Rambam answers as we saw in Perek Vav when he discussed the bracha on Netilat Yadayim. Hashem commanded us in the Torah to listen to the Chachamim, who themselves commanded us to perform these mitzvot. Halacha Dalet. V'lama ein mevarchin al netilat yadayim ba'achrona, mipnei shelo chiyvu b'davar ze, ela mipnei ha-sakana, udarim shein mishum sakana ein mevarchin al asiyatan. Halama ze dome, למי שסינן את המים ואחר כך שתה בלילה, מפני סכנת עלוקה, שאינו מברך וציוונו לסנן את המים, וכן כל כיוצא בזה. There is no bracha on mayim achronim, because this was established in order to avoid danger, specifically the melach sedomit we discussed in Perek Vav. Similarly, in times where there was a danger to drink water which had been left exposed without filtering it, there was no bracha made on the act of filtering. In general, there is no bracha on an act performed to avoid danger, even though it certainly is a mitzvah to protect one's own well-being, because this is something one should do even without being commanded to do so, and therefore there is no need for a bracha. The Rambam said in Perek Aleph that a bracha on a mitzvah must be said before the performance of the mitzvah, in similar fashion to Birchot HaNe'anin, which are said before eating or smelling. As we explained at the time in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, the reason for this may be that just as physical benefit from Hashem's world requires the matir of a bracha, so too approaching God to serve Him, even by doing something He has commanded us to do, requires a matir. What does a person do if he forgets to make a bracha before starting to perform a mitzvah? Halachot Hey and Vav answer this question. Ha'oseh mitzvah v'lo beirech, im mitzvah sh'adayin asiyata kayemet, mevarech achar asiyah. v'im davar she'avarhu eino mevarech. Ketzad, harei she'nitatef b'tzitzit, o she'lavash tefilin, o she'ashav basukah, v'lo beirech tchila, chozer umvarech achar she'nitatef, asher k'shan mesav v'sivanu, nitatef b'tzitzit, v'chein mevarech achar she'lavash, asher k'shan mesav v'sivanu, laniach tefilin. V'achar she'ashav, asher k'shan mesav v'sivanu, le'shev basukah, v'chein kol k'yotzei ba'ilu. אבל אם שחט בלא ברכה, אינו חוזר אחר שחיטה ולברך אשר קשם וצבא וצבאנו על השחיטה. וכן אם כיסה אדם בלא ברכה, או הפריש תרומה ומעשרות, או שטבל ולא ברך, אינו חוזר ומברך אחר עשייה, וכן כל כיוצא באלו. There are mitzvot whose performance consists of a single act, after which the mitzvah is entirely over. And there are mitzvot whose fulfillment extends over a longer period of time. Tefillin, tzitzit, and sukkah are examples of the second type, as one wears tefillin and tzitzit for an extended period, and one sits in the sukkah for some time as well. In these cases, the bracha should ideally be said before the initial act with which the mitzvah begins, tightening the tefillin, wrapping himself in tzitzit, sitting down in the sukkah, but if it wasn't, it can be said afterwards, as long as the fulfillment of the mitzvah is ongoing. However, in a mitzvah of the first type, like shechita, separating trumot and masrot, and tefillah in a mikveh, one who doesn't make a bracha in advance cannot make it up afterwards, as by that time the mitzvah is entirely completed. There is one exception to this rule, which the Rambam explains in Halacha Zayin. Ein lecha mitzvah shemvarchin aleha achar asiyata leolam ela tefillat hager, she'eino yachol lomar asher kidishanu v'tzivanu. שעדיין לא נתקדש ולא נצטווה עד שידבול. לפיכך, אחר שידבול מברך על הטבילה, מפני שהיה דחוי מעיקרו ולא היה ראוי לברכה. The very first mitzvah performed by a convert to Judaism, a ger, is the act of immersing in the mikveh which completes his gerut. Since it is this act of tevilah which makes him Jewish and subject to the commandments, he cannot say before this act a bracha which speaks of Hashem commanding us to perform mitzvot. Therefore, he makes the bracha of ala tevilah only after his immersion. Recall from our discussion in Perek Vav that other Rishonim apply the same rationale to the bracha on netilat yadayim. Because one cannot make a bracha with impure hands, according to these Rishonim, the bracha on netilat yadayim too must wait until after water has been poured on the hands to purify them. This indeed is our practice. But the Rambam feels that it is entirely permissible to make a bracha with impure hands, and so he writes in Perek Vav that the bracha is made before pouring water on the hands, similar to the way a bracha precedes any other mitzvah. In Halacha Chet, the Rambam points out that certain mitzvot must have, or can have, an earlier stage of creating the object with which the mitzvah is performed. Examples include sukkah, tefillin, tzitzit, and mezuzah. In these cases, the bracha is not said before creating the object, but rather later, just before the act through which the mitzvah itself is performed, dwelling in the sukkah, wearing the tefillin or tzitzit, and affixing the mezuzah to the doorpost. The Rambam gives only one example of a mitzvah in which the creation of the object involved is itself the act of performing the mitzvah, and that is the mitzvah of ma'akeh, building a fence around a roof to avoid the danger that someone may fall off. In this case, the bracha is said before completing the building of the ma'akeh. Halacha Tet. Kol mitzvah shi mizman lizman, kigon shofar v'sukah v'lulav u'mikra megillah v'ner chanukah, v'chein kol mitzvah shi kinyan lo, kigon tzitzit u'tfilin u'mizuzah u'ma'keh, v'chein mitzvah she'ina tidira, v'ina mitzuya b'chol eit, sh'arei hi doma l'mitzvah shi mizman lizman, kigon milat b'no u'fidyon b'no, v'varech aleh b'shat asiyah shechiyanu v'kimanu. V'im lo b'erech al sukah v'lulav v'chayotzei behen shechiyanu b'shat asiyah, מברך עליהן שחיינו בשעה שיצא ידי חובתו בהן, וכן כל כיוצא בזה. We discussed in the last perek the bracha of Shechiyanu, and here the Rambam lists three types of mitzvot in conjunction with which we make this bracha in addition to the usual Birkat HaMitzvah. The first is a mitzvah which is only performed at a certain time of year, like Sukkah, Shofar, reading the Megillah, and lighting Nerot Chanukah. At the end of the halacha, the Rambam clarifies that the Shechiyanu on a mitzvah like Sukkah and Lulav can, and indeed should, be said when the Sukkah is built and when the Lulav is put together with the other minim. very much in contrast to the Birkat HaMitzvah on each of these mitzvot, which we just saw in Halacha Chet, must wait until the actual performance of the mitzvah. Only if the Shehecheyanu isn't said at that earlier stage, says the Rambam, should it be said later when the mitzvah is performed. The Shulchan Aruch rejects this and rules in accordance with the view of other Rishonim that the Shehecheyanu too should wait until the performance of the mitzvah, and this is the common practice. The second type of mitzvah requiring a Shehecheyanu is one in which a person has ownership over the object of the mitzvah, and the Rambam gives examples of tzitzit, tefillin, mezuzah, and ma'akeh. This view of the Rambam is not accepted at all, and we do not say Shehecheyanu on any of these mitzvot. The partial exception is tzitzit, as we can say Shehecheyanu on a new piece of clothing, like a talit gadol, on which tzitzit are tied. The third and final type of mitzvah with which we say Shehecheyanu is a rarely occurring mitzvah, like Brit Milah and Pidyon HaBen. Other Rishonim, including Tosfot, disagree regarding Brit Milah, and the custom of Ashkenazim outside Israel is not to say Shehecheyanu at a Brit. However, Shehecheyanu is said at a Pidyon HaBen according to all customs. In Halacha Yud, the Rambam writes that when one performs on behalf of someone else a mitzvah of one of these three types, which is generally accompanied by Shehecheyanu, he makes the Birkat HaMitzvah but does not say Shehecheyanu. The Shulchan Aruch is silent on this point, but later poskim, including the Rama, believe that even when being motzi someone else, one makes a Shehecheyanu in addition to the usual Birkat HaMitzvah, and this is the common practice. In Halacha Yud Aleph through Tetvav, the Rambam discusses the specific language used in a Birkat HaMitzvah, and he begins with a novel opinion which is not accepted by the majority of Rishonim. Halacha Yud Aleph. Kol ha'useh mitzvah, bein sha'ita chova alav, bein she'ina chova, im asa uta la'atzmo, mevarech la'asot, asa uta la'achirim, mevarech al ha'asiyah. The phrasing of the bracha on a mitzvah depends on the person for whom the mitzvah is being performed. If it is being performed for himself, that is, the one making the bracha, then he uses the active language of la'asot. If for someone else, he uses the passive language of al. The Rambam lists examples in Halachot Yud Bet and Yud Gimel. Ketzad, levash tfilin, mevarech laniach tfilin, nitatef betzitzit, mevarech litatef, yashav basuka, mevarech leshev basuka, v'chein hu mevarech lahadlik ner shabbat, ve'ligmor et halel, v'chein im kava mezuzah leveito, mevarech likbo mezuzah, asa makeh legago, mevarech asher k'sham savisimanu lasot makeh. Hifrish truma umasrot la'atzmo, mevarech la'hafrish, mal et beno, mevarech la'mul et haben, shachat pischo v'chagigato, mevarech lishchot. Avalim kava mezuzah la'achirim, mevarech al kviat mezuzah, asa lehen ma'keh, mevarech al asiat ma'keh. Hifrish lehen truma, mevarech al hafrashat truma, mal et ben chavero, mevarech al hamilah, v'chein kol keyotzei ba'elu. A father giving a brit milah to his own child, that is, the father is performing his own mitzvah to circumcise his son, makes the bracha of lamul et haben in the active form. But if he is doing it for some other child, then he uses the passive language of al hamilah. And similarly, does the language of the bracha change in the cases of mezuzah, separating truma and maser, and building a ma'akeh, depending on whether the mevarech is doing the mitzvah for himself or for someone else? This idea that the phrasing of a bracha changes based on the context is mentioned in the Gemara in Psachim regarding the example we just gave of Brit Milah, but in the view of most Rishonim, that Gemara is not relevant lahalacha. It is part of a defense of an opinion which is eventually rejected, but in these halachot, the Rambam nonetheless accepts the principle put forth by that Gemara. And what if the mitzvah is being performed on behalf of both the Mevarech himself and others? The Rambam moves on to this case in Halacha Yudalid. Asa mitzvah lo v'la'achirim ke'achad, im hayta mitzvah she'ina chova, mevarech al hasiya, lefichach u'mevarech al mitzvat eruv, hayta chova v'nitkaven lahotzi atzmo midei chova, u'lahotzi achirim mevarech la'asot, lefichach u'mevarech lishmoa kol shofar. When the mevarech does the mitzvah both for himself and for others, the formulation depends on the type of mitzvah using the classification back from Halacha Bet. If the mitzvah is an absolute requirement, like shofar, then we use the active language of lishmoa kol shofar, as we are unconditionally commanded to hear the sound of a shofar. If the mitzvah is conditional, like the different types of eruv which can be made before Shabbat, then we use al, as in al mitzvat eruv, because there is no unconditional command to make an eruv, and hence the bracha relates to the concept rather than to the act itself. The Rambam goes on in Halacha Tetvav to apply this distinction even to a case where the Mevarech does the mitzvah only for himself, and hence the brachot on Netilat Yadayim and Shechita, both of which are conditional mitzvot, which a person does for himself and cannot do on behalf of someone else, are Al Netilat Yadayim and Al Shechita. Finally, in Halacha Tetvav, the Rambam tells us of one more situation in which the correct formulation of the bracha is the passive form of Al. Natalat halulav, mevarech al netilat lulav, shekevan sheigbio, yatzai de chovato, aval im berech kodem sheitol, mevarech litol et halulav, kemo le sheva suka, umikan atalamed, sham mevarech achar shasa belo bracha, mevarech al hasia. The Rambam in this halacha is difficult to understand in light of things he said earlier, and I will explain his words as I understand them. We saw back in Halachot Hei and Vav that some mitzvot are completed in a single act, while others continue over a period of time, like tefillin, tzitzit, and sukkah. There is a third category between these two, of mitzvot in which the most essential part of the mitzvah is completed in a single act, but some other peripheral aspect of the mitzvah takes place only later. This is true of Netilat Lulav, where the essential mitzvah is picking it up, but there's also a mitzvah to hold and shake it during Hallel. Similarly, Bi'ur Chametz, in which the essential mitzvah of Bitul is done in the mind, without any act at all, and the Bedika, checking for any Chametz left in the house, is done afterwards. We do Bedika before Bitul, but the Rambam here assumes the opposite. For mitzvot in this category, the bracha can be said in advance, and the Rambam writes that one would make litol et halulav before picking up a lulav. But the bracha can also be said after the initial primary act and before the later part of the mitzvah, in which case it is said with the formulation of al. This is so because the active le implies that the mevarech has yet to perform the mitzvah, but in fact the main part of it has already been done. Thus we say al netilat lulav after picking up the lulav, and al biur chametz before bedikat chametz. In summary, the view of the Rambam is that the active language of le in a birkat hamitzvah implies three things. That the mevarech is himself commanded to do the mitzvah, and he's not doing it for someone else. That he is commanded to do it unconditionally, and that he has not yet done the main part of the mitzvah. If any of these three do not hold, then the bracha is said in the passive form of al. The Ravid here raises several difficulties with the Rambam's opinion. For example, the brachot of al mikra megillah, al achilat matzah, and al achilat maror, all of which should be formulated in the active form, likro et hamegillah, lecho matzah, etc., according to the rules laid down by the Rambam. Aside from these seeming counterexamples, the deeper problem with the Rambam's opinion, in the view of many Rishonim, is that he assumes that the language of al is in general inappropriate in reference to an act that a person is about to do, which contradicts the conclusion of the Gemara Masechet regarding the bracha of al biur chametz. The Gemara says there that we say that bracha before bedikat chametz because the language of al implies something that you're about to do. But this is something which the Rambam seems not to accept. The Rush quotes from Rabbeinu Tam an alternative explanation for the different formulations of Birkot HaMitzvah. Rabbeinu Tam suggests that Al implies a mitzvah which is about to be done and which is completed in a single act, while the active form of Le implies that the mitzvah will be drawn out over a longer period of time. Reading the Megillah, eating matzah, and washing hands before bread are all completed immediately, hence these brachot use the language of Al. But tefillin, tzitzit, sukkah, and even lighting Nerot Chanukah are all mitzvot which last for a while, and so we use the language of le. There are difficulties with this explanation as well. For instance, Hallel, which would seem very similar to Megillah, and yet we make the bracha of likro et Hallel. Rabbeinu Tam explains that Hallel is considered more drawn out than Megillah, even if in practice Hallel often takes less time, because parts of Hallel are said responsively between the Shliach Tzibur and the Tzibur, unlike Megillah, which is read from beginning to end by one person. Other Rishonim suggest their own explanations for the different formulations of Birkot HaMitzvah, and as would be expected, each is convincing in certain respects, but none is completely satisfactory without any problems. Halacha Tet Zayin.
kol davar shehu minhag, af al pi sheminhag nevi'im hu, kegon netilat arava b'shvi'i shel chag, ve'ein tzarich lomar minhag chachamim, kegon kriyat halel b'rashei chodashim uv'chulo shel pesach, ein varchin alav. V'chein kol davar shistapek lecha, im ta'un bracha olav, o sin oto b'lo bracha, ula'olam yizaher adam mibracha shena tzricha, v'yarbe b'vrachot ha'tzrichot. V'chein David omer, b'chol yom avarecheka, v'hala shimcha l'olam v'ed. Any practice whose roots are in minhag, rather than an explicit commandment, is done without a bracha. This is true if the minhag dates back to the time of Chazal, like saying a partial Hallel on Rosh Chodesh and all the days of Pesach after the first, and even if the minhag dates further back to the time of the Nevi'im, like the minhag to do Hoshanot with an Arava on the last day of Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah. The Ravid accepts this suggestion of the Rambam regarding Arava, but not regarding Hallel, which he feels deserves a bracha even when it is said as a minhag. Since Hallel is itself a form of offering praise and thanks to Hashem, it makes sense that it should be accompanied by a bracha which has the same purpose. This is also the opinion of several other Rishonim. The Shulchan Aruch accepts the psak of the Rambam, while the Ramah rules in accordance with these other Rishonim, and so Sfardim don't make a bracha on the partial Hallel of Rosh Chodesh and the later days of Pesach, while Ashkenazim do make a bracha. The Rambam goes on to say that in any case of doubt, one does not make a bracha on a mitzvah, because birkot ha-mitzvah are rabbinic and safek d'rabbanan kula. We mentioned in Hilchot Tzitzit, and we'll see again in Hilchot Milah, that the Ravid does not always agree with this. If a mitzvah d'oraita is being done only due to safek, then the Ravid believes it should be accompanied by a bracha. The Rambam concludes Hilchot Brachot with the exhortation that one should do his best to avoid unnecessary brachot, as these represent violations of the Isser Doraita of taking the name of Hashem in vain, but otherwise he should say as many brachot as he can. Every bracha is an affirmation of one's belief in God, as well as an act of praising Him, and is therefore a fulfillment of the aspiration of David HaMelech in Tehillim of Bechol Yom Avarecheka V'ahala Shimcha L'olam Ve'ed. Every day I bless you, and I will praise your name for all time.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.